This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So we're staying at home, right? So I'm live streaming from home. I kind of wish I moved this one a little bit over there so that they're more centered, but I guess you guys have a little bit of a close-up view, which is kind of weird. So I'm sitting on the floor from my home for tonight's class on the etiquettes that we find within Islam. I hope that the internet connection is better than it was at Jumu'ah time, because I know at Jumu'ah it was pretty choppy, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for every single one of us throughout our days and our evenings and our time at home to benefit as much as we possibly can from whatever it is that we're going through and whatever it is that we are trying to achieve, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy. If we have to work from home, that it becomes a beneficial, you know, thing for us. If we have to teach from home, then it's beneficial. If we have to learn from home, then it's beneficial as well. And I know that on Friday nights, usually when we're in the masjid, and it seems like such a long time ago, but at the same time, it kind of feels like it was just yesterday, and it was a whole year ago. When we were still, you know, attending the masjid on Friday nights, we would have a good 500, 600 people, you know, brothers, sisters, children. And it was a very beautiful, very pleasant, you know, class in the masjid. So we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for us to return to the masjid sometime soon. Ameen. Today we start a new chapter, okay? And it's the chapter titled in Arabic, Bab Adab al-Istidhan, which is basically the chapter on requesting permission to enter. Okay, requesting permission to enter someone's home, someone's room, someone's office, basically to enter upon someone. And we see that in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم. Don't enter the homes that don't belong to you. Basically the home of someone else, a home that doesn't belong to you, that isn't one of your homes. Hatta tastanisu, until you seek that permission or you request permission to enter that home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in verse number 58 of Surah An-Nur, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O you who believe, once again, right, calling out to us as believers, لِيَسْتَأْذِنْكُمُ الَّذِينَ مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ لَمْ يَبْلُغُوا الْحُلُمَ مِنْكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again is reminding us of the importance of seeking permission. He also says in Surah An-Nur, verse number 59, right after the verse that we just finished taking, وَإِذَا بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمُ الْحُلُمُ فَلْيَسْتَأْذِنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the children, right? Once you become mature, then you should seek permission, request permission before entering the homes or the rooms of your parents or people that are older, okay? And of course, when children are young, you know, they're going to be entering into their parents' room, just running in. They don't understand. They don't know the difference between, you know, day or night or busy or not busy. You know, I, for example, I'm live streaming downstairs and I was just telling the children upstairs, okay, I'm going to go down. So you have, you know, your rooms, you can do what you need to do, get ready for bed and stuff like that. And it won't make noise and it won't disturb me. And subhanAllah, when I came down, I'm like, I can hear you guys perfectly clear. You know, so it is what it is, alhamdulillah. And when we're entering into the room of someone else, when children get older, they need to understand and know when the door is closed, the door is closed. And we're going to look at these things in detail, inshallah. This is just the introduction to the chapter. And the Prophet ﷺ says, إنما جعل الاستئذان من أجل البصر. So the permission, seeking permission, requesting permission before entering, of course, into someone's room is usually put in place because of our eyes, right? And I was thinking eyes when I read it, and I thought I should have put my glasses on. So subhanAllah, you know, seeking that permission before entering is important within our deen. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions the reason why we are seeking permission. We seek permission usually to enter upon someone because we want to make sure that they are in a condition, or they are people that we can see, or they're properly covered so that we can enter upon them in case we do happen to look at them. Okay, so their bodies will be covered. Now, with regards to the etiquettes, point number one of this chapter, requesting permission to enter upon someone. A sunnah, so it is from the sunnah, تقديم السلام قبل الاستئذان. So it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we say assalamu alaykum, or assalamu alaykum rahmatullah, or assalamu alaykum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, before we request permission to come in. So there are multiple examples. You know, I have a number of different narrations and hadith in front of me. We'll just suffice with one of them, inshallah. عن أنس بن مالك. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. So ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما, he says, استأذن عمر على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So عمر ابن الخطاب, right, sought permission to enter upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال السلام على رسول الله السلام عليكم أيدخل عمر. So he says السلام على رسول الله, right, may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the messenger of Allah. السلام عليكم, so greeting the people that are with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says أيدخل عمر, right, can عمر enter? And so, remember, this first point is that the salam precedes requesting permission to enter. So we begin by asking permission to enter. Before asking permission to enter, we begin by saying salam. And so some people will come over and be like, you know, knock on the door, this and that, or come to someone's office and say, can I come in? And before asking, can I come in, we should say, salamu alaykum, can I come in, right? That's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other narrations, as I mentioned, there's, you know, a bunch. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by some, and they didn't give salam, or the person, the sahabi, didn't give salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration says, arji' faqul assalamu alaykum. Irji' fakul assalamu alaykum, right? Go back and say assalamu alaykum. فقال له السلام عليكم أأدخل, right? Give salam, right? So say assalamu alaykum, or assalamu alaykum, can I enter? And so then we enter upon whoever it is once they give us permission. If they don't give us permission enter the room or their office, then we don't enter, right? Like, for example, if I was live streaming right now from my office at the masjid and people come to my window and they're knocking on my window asking to come in, if I don't allow them to, or I ignore them, maybe because I'm live streaming or because I'm busy doing something, then that is my right. That is my right. Islamically, it's my right to reject someone from entering into my office or entering into my home, or someone who's requesting permission to enter. Now, there's a difference between entering the masjid, right? Someone seeking to enter the masjid. Yeah, we can grant permission to enter the masjid, of course, based on the circumstances as well, right? If someone is you know, throwing a tantrum, then we don't let them in, right? Because, hey, wait a second, calm down. This is not a place to come and yell and scream and shout. You know, if someone's coming in to harm others, then, you know, we lock the doors and we don't let them in. If, for example, you know, certain current regulations don't allow more than 10 people, for example, and, you know, the management is maintaining the salah, like earlier today, there were 10 of us there inside of the masjid. So, you know, the 11th person would not be granted the ability to enter into the masjid. So every single space has you know, a request that needs to be put forth before entering. The next point that we're going to look at is أن يقف المستأذن عن يمين أو شمال الباب. So for the person who is entering someone's home or coming to someone's home, when you are going to knock on the door or ring the doorbell, you don't stand right in front of the door. You move off to the side, either to the right side or you move to the left side. And you, you know, subhanAllah, you know, this is one of the things that growing up we were taught. And, you know, you have to give credit where it's due. I remember when we were young, and I'm not ashamed to say this, you know, people will say, you know, don't talk about that, don't mention it publicly. Why not? You know, when we were young, when I was young, we used to go in Jamaat, right, with Tablighi Jamaat. And when you go for Jawla or you go for Gasht, one of the things that they teach you is, you know, you go in odd numbers, a minimum group of three, and you go to someone's home. And when you ring the doorbell or you knock on the door, you stand to the side. These are etiquettes in our deen that we learn, right? You stand to the side and you only ring three times, right? And we're going to look at that right after this, inshallah ta'ala. So one of the points there is that you will ring the doorbell, for example, and then move to the side and also turn your face away from directly looking in. But try not to turn your back to the door. Why? You don't turn your back to the door because if the person who's inside of the home looks out the window, right, to see who it is, and they see your back, then they have no idea who it is. And so stand to the side and maybe face the side, but face away. Don't face directly to the door. If a brother is standing there, brother comes to the door, I come to the door, ring the doorbell, and I'm standing staring right at the crack of the door waiting for it to open, right? And a sister comes and opens the door to see who it is. Maybe she was expecting her children to come home at that time and she thought that it was her children or she thought it was her husband or whoever it was. And she opens the door and she's not wearing hijab. She'll get startled and shut the door, right? So that's why Islamically, she should technically be able to open the door and look and see who it is without even feeling that someone is looking at her, that someone can see her. And so, you know, that's where, you know, you would stand to the side, you would turn in a way that if they open the door, they can see you, right? But you can't see them and you're not looking at them, you're looking down, okay? And away from the door, out of respect. Remember, we're talking about etiquettes, and it's important for us to learn these etiquettes in order to be able to implement them when we are doing things in our lives, when we're going about our life, right? So that's with regards to knocking on the door or, you know, seeking pardon to enter into someone's home. Now, point number three. It is haram, not permissible, for a man or a person, we could say, to look into a home that doesn't belong to him. So it's not permissible for someone to look in or even spy or try to, you know, peep through and see what's going on inside of a home or a window if that is not your home. Okay? And we see here certain advice that the Prophet ﷺ gave, which is actually pretty harsh when we think of it. It's pretty harsh because it goes to show the importance of respecting people's homes and respecting their space. So in one narration, the Prophet ﷺ mentions that if a person is looking through a home that is not his home, then it is permissible for you to poke them in the eye, or you know, even if you throw something. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, if any of you were to peek into someone's house and they threw a pebble at you and it poked you in the eye and took out your eyesight, then they would not be guilty. Then you would be guilty of no offense, as in the person who threw it would not be guilty, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if any of you were to peek into someone's house and they threw a pebble at him and took out his eye, you would not be guilty of an offense, as in the eyesight that is lost by the person who is inside their home, defending their space, their right to their privacy. It is not a sin. And the person who was peeking into someone else's home has no right to blood money or to any retaliation. Blood money is, in Islam, if someone's rights are taken away, we call it blood money, right? For example, if someone accidentally, they were driving and accidentally, there was an accident and they were at fault and someone else had passed away. Well, we call that blood money, as in, the life of someone was taken. And so that person who was at fault would have to pay the family of the person who lost their loved one. And so here, if a person lost their eyesight, you can't even go after them to collect any blood money or any sort of retaliation for the eyesight that was lost because you were peeking into their home unjustly. Right now, of course, that's an offense within Canada, right? You don't do that. Someone is peeking into your home. You can call the police and let them know, and they will take action, right? They will take action if someone is spying on you. And this is where we look at another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is not part of our class for today. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إِذَا رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When one of you sees something that is wrong, that is no good, a munkar, فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ, then change it physically. Go and do something. For example, my glass of water, right? I take a sip from it and I put it down and it's right on the edge. And one of my kids sees it, for example. They should come and change it physically and move it away, right? You see your child put something down. That's a munkar. That's something that could, potentially happen that's no good. So you try to avoid something from happening. فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. If you're not able to physically change that. Now, if someone is looking into our home, we don't go and we punch them or anything of that sort. We call, authorities and let them know someone is spying on our home. Someone is looking into our home. Our privacy is, compromised. They will send someone over and they will take care of the situation. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. So if you can't physically do it, then you can verbally do it. So you can send someone by or call someone and they will come over and change that situation. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. And if you're not able to actually physically or verbally change that situation, then you can try to fix that within your own heart. As in hate it, dislike the munkar, the bad thing that is happening within your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضَعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest level of iman. Now, that's not actually a hadith that's within, our, syllabus or what we're going through our book. But it was just something that I thought I would throw in there, because when we talk about changing a evil, sometimes based on the laws of the land we live in, we would see that what is permissible Islamically may not be legally allowed in the country, right? So someone, why would you take a stone and throw it at someone? Now, yes, there are certain laws in certain provinces and even certain states, right? If you look at the United States, you can defend your property, right? And use certain measures to defend your property. Within Canada, I'm sure we have, some of the provinces have their own laws, and there might even be national laws is another word I'm looking for. Federal laws that will, dictate whether a person or what measures a person can take in order to protect themselves and protect their property and their home. But again, we each need to look into that, and I don't know what they are. So it's best to always look into it. So here we see something that's an advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that basically is showing us the severity of it. We're not talking about, going and spying on people. What we're talking about is, If you go to someone's home, then you should be respectful enough to stand to the side without looking into their home. If you see that the windows are open or the curtains are open and, you know, you're standing there staring, looking in, that's not permissible. But if you go up the steps and you manage to, you know, get to the top and you see inside of the home and then you turn around, that's not intentional. So again, in Islam, we are not held to account for the things that we did not do intentionally, right? It just happened and we immediately turned away from it. That's fine. The next point that we're going to look at, point number four, is al-istidhan thalathan. Al-istidhanu thalathan. When we seek or request permission to enter someone's home or to enter their office, etc., we do it three times maximum. So you go to someone's home, you walk up the steps or you approach their door, you ring their doorbell, you stand to the side, you look away and you wait. Do azkar. Right? Say subhanAllah, do azkar, like do istighfar as well. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fill that time with something that's amazing, right? So say astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. You know, maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you're bothering someone in the middle of something. Maybe because you rang the doorbell, something might happen inside. You don't want to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though you're not held to account for the things that you didn't know of. Still, we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if no one answers the door, no one comes to the door, then you can ring it a second time, right? You can ring the doorbell or knock on the door a second time and then wait a little bit. And then if no one comes, then you can ring a third time and wait a little bit. And if no one comes after that, then you leave. If no one comes, then you leave. Even if you know that they're inside, you know that they heard the doorbell ring. And that's the point there, is actually that you know they heard the doorbell ring. Because the next part right after this is, what do you do if you are certain that they did not hear you? You know, there's loud noise inside. Maybe there's some renovations going on, right? Or they could possibly be in the basement, right? Maybe you went to someone's home and before you got there, you called them and they said, we're in the basement. So, you know, when you get here, we might not hear the door. Okay, so in that case, you can ring more than three times. Okay, so first off, when you get to someone's home, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha sta'dhana ahadakum thalathan," if one of you comes to someone's home and requests permission to enter three times, "falam yu'dhan lah," and permission is not granted to you, "falyarji'," then leave, go back, go away. Even if you know that they are inside. Why? Because it is the right of the homeowner or the people who reside there to either let you in or not. They might not want to be disturbed. They might be busy at that time, and that's fine. That's fine. It's their right. It's their home. It's their space. It's their own privacy, right? And that's where a person feels comfortable. It's their own home. It's their space where they can govern how they run their home. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises us, if you are not given permission, then leave. Now we look at another mas'ala within the same point. إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنَ ثَلَاثًا فَلَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُ وَظَنَّ أَنَّ اسْتِئْذَانِ لَمْ يُسْمَعْ. If someone assumes that they were not heard by the people inside of the home, what should you do? Okay. So the answer to that is, first of all, we know that we seek permission three times, okay? So the maximum we should try is three times. However, the scholars say, in the case that you know for certain that you were not heard, then raise your voice, right? Let's say in the olden times, they didn't have doorbells, right? So they would either just, you know, knock a little bit very lightly, or, you know, they would tap at something, or they would stand in front of a door and they would give salam, you know, and request permission to enter. So if you're certain that the people did not hear you within the home, then you can ask another time until they hear you. And if they don't grant you permission after that, then go away. Okay. Point number five. لَا يَقُلِ الْمُسْتَأْذِنُ أَنَا إِذَا قِيلَ مَنْ هَذَا. If you come to someone's home and you knock on the door or ring the doorbell And they come to the door and they say, who is it? So it's like, knock, knock. Who's there? Me. Me who? Right? And subhanAllah, this happened during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Jabir radiallahu anhu. قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And when he arrived at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم at his home, فدققت الباب. He knocked on the door, right? فقال من ذا? Who's there? فقلت أنا. So he said, me, أنا. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to Jabir radiallahu an and said, "Ana ana," like me me, like who are you, right? "Ana ana," right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, and Jabir radiallahu an says, "Ka'annahu kariha." It's as though he was displeased with what I had said, right? It's as though he was displeased with that. And so it is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it is discouraged to come to someone's home and to say, it's me. You know, someone asks, who is it? And you say, it's me. Who's me? You know, the person of the home, if it's, for example, a sister opening the door and a brother is standing there, she doesn't know who me is. Who's me? So you have to basically let them know who you are. It's Imam so-and-so, it is, you know, the mother of so-and-so, it is the son of so-and-so person, it is, you know, you say your first name and your last name, whoever it is, right? You have to identify yourself. Simply saying, it's me, has no benefit and is not something that is encouraged. In fact, it is discouraged. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not pleased with that method, okay? The last point that we'll take for today, insha'Allah ta'ala, is point number 6. يَنْبَغِي لِلْمُسْتَأْذِنِ أَلَّا يَدُقُ الْبَابِ بِعَنَفِ. It is not permissible for the person who is coming to someone's home to knock on the door in a very harsh manner. Like you come to someone's home and it's Assalamu alaikum. Come on, open the door. Usually I don't use a book, but I know if I use my table, it'll be much louder, right? So it is not permissible to come and to have that kind of aggression or to be very, like, very, very disturbing at someone's door. And let's look at the method of the Sahaba with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He says, "Inna abwab al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," people who knocked on the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would knock on his door using their fingertips, using their fingernails. So knocking on the door of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not like this. It was like this. Very gently. Not to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Showing the most respect. Remember, when we go to someone's home, a lot of the time when we go to someone's home, if they're, not to say that they're lesser than us, because we don't have this sort of class system or, you know, caste system here in Canada. But sometimes you find people are very, like, arrogant. You know, they'll come to someone's home and be like, "Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, it's me. Here you go. Dropping this off." They just walk away. The method of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is teaching them to be the best, regardless of who you're going to. Now, when you think of the Sahaba, they're going to the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So naturally, they're going to... Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. You know, they're going to have a softer voice. They're not knocking. They're using a softer tap, right? Using their fingernails, as Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu tells us about the people who would come to the home of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so that method if we're using it with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he approves of that and he's okay with it, then that means that's a method we should use with everyone and not just the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see, when we would come to his home, we'd think to ourselves, okay, this is the Prophet, we have to be very respectful and so on. Yeah, but he's teaching us to be respectful like this to everyone, not just to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not expect to be treated a certain way and others to be treated differently. And this was the problem that the Quraysh had, the mushrikun, they had with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he started to invite people to Islam. They used to say, you're from the noble people of Mecca. Your nobility, why are you sitting with these people? Why are you sitting with servants? Why are you sitting with slaves, right, at their time? And so they were not happy with the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing that, but he was showing them that the black is not different than the white, right? And, you know, someone who comes from another place, speaks in a different language, they're not different than others. And we have to be respectful, okay, to each other. So that's the method of, you know, seeking permission to enter upon someone. We'll suffice with that for today, inshallah ta'ala. We'll open it up for some questions. If anyone has any questions, then feel free to ask. Yeah, inshallah. I know a lot of you, as you entered, you said salam, which is good. Forgive me, I can't respond to every single person's salam as they enter. So I say salam right at the beginning and I say it at the end. But for all of you that entered and gave salam and I didn't respond, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I'll wait for some of you to type in your questions if you have any. And please do let me know how the internet was. Let me know how the sound was, because I know earlier today it was very problematic at Jum'ah. It was actually so bad that my parents yesterday had asked me how they can access the live stream. My parents don't have Facebook. They don't use any of this technology. They have a laptop. And so what I did was I said, go to my Facebook page. They don't have an account, but they still went to the Facebook page. And they saw the live stream. But I was actually done already. So it was about 45 minutes after I finished. And so my mom calls me, my phone is ringing, I'm packing up my stuff, you know, putting things away. My mother calls me and she's like, oh, Daud, you answered? I'm like, yeah, why? She thought, because she, you know, went to the Facebook page and she saw that I was speaking, she thought it was live, because I told her I live stream it. So she thought it was live. So when I'm answering, she's like, uh-oh. I called him while he's teaching and he answered it. She thought maybe my wife was going to answer or someone else would have answered. And I think she actually thought she dialed my wife's phone number, but she dialed mine. And so, subhanAllah, she's like, the sound is really bad. Maybe you should fix it. I'm like, Mom, I'm done. I finished about 45 minutes ago. So I'm done the live stream and the internet was really bad and there's nothing that I can do now to fix it. So, alhamdulillah. See, I could hear my kids banging the floor right above me. SubhanAllah. Okay, so I see some questions here. Let me try and get to them. Just move this out of the way. Allah yubarak feek, jazakallahu khairan. Aaron, nowadays we have much noise outside. Knocks with fingernails would be absorbed in the metal frame doors. Yes, no doubt. And that's why we have doorbells on our homes. And so you ring the doorbell, right? And there's no need to ring the doorbell and knock, right? And look in the window. SubhanAllah, sometimes I've been to people's homes and brothers are there and they're like looking in the window like, I see him. He's there. Like, calm down. He heard it. Give him some time to get to the door. Like, why are you looking through the window? SubhanAllah. So someone's asking, is marijuana allowed for anxiety? Look, this is a long discussion and some of the scholars have answered this in length. In fact, Sheikh Naveed Aziz from the IISC in Calgary had a session with Dr. Can't remember his name, good friend now, subhanAllah. But anyways, that was done. So you can go back and look at that. SubhanAllah, there should be many other things that you can do to try and help your anxiety. It seemed like the software used for Facebook broadcast was using too much resources on Friday lecture. To be honest, it was just the internet. And in fact, the internet is down at the masjid. It's been down for a few hours. So that's why I decided to live stream from home. All right, let me go here and look for some of these questions. Alhamdulillah, beautiful religion. Yes, no doubt. Everything's going very good. YouTube as well. Alhamdulillah, glad. Someone says, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. I just joined your live. May I know what book you're teaching and using? Okay, so it's called Kitab al-Adab. Okay, Kitab al-Adab. I'll put this up here. Actually, I'll hold it this way so that you can see the name. If you want to take a screenshot, you can. Okay. It's a book I got when I was a student in Medina. We studied it with some of our teachers in our early semesters. Would this etiquette also apply to family members within the home, i.e. children knocking on parents' doors, parents knocking on their children's doors, etc.? Yes, it would. Okay, yes, it would. And we're going to look at that shortly, inshallah, as we go through the chapters and discuss, you know, children seeking permission to enter their parents' room, right? As we saw in one of the evidences that we started with. All right, so those are all the questions so far. I'll keep it open for a couple more minutes, see if anyone else has any questions. Seek permission for a WhatsApp video call. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Any last questions before we log out? So the good thing about a WhatsApp video call is when someone's calling you, you don't need to answer, right? When someone's calling you, you don't need to answer your phone. So you do have that permission. Now, of course, if you don't return their call, it's a little bit rude, okay? In-laws living near. I'm not too sure what you mean by in-laws living near. It's pretty straightforward. I've subscribed to your channel thing. Allah, you better kick. If someone is sleeping and they need to be woken up, what should you do? Okay, so if someone's sleeping, Islamically, it's actually, you see the way I'm sitting? I just sat like this just because I was sitting on a pillow. But technically, this is not a respectful way to sit in a halaqa. Right? It's not a respectful way to sit in halaqa. It is permissible, but it's not respectful. In fact, you know, when we think of Jum'ah, right? When you look at the etiquettes of Jum'ah, it's disrespectful to sit like this in the Jum'ah khutbah. Okay, so from the etiquettes of sitting down, it's disrespectful to sit like this in the Jum'ah khutbah, and it's not permissible to sit like this either. Okay, with your palms to the ground, leaning back. Which we will probably look at soon, inshallah ta'ala, when we talk about sitting in a gathering, okay, or attending a gathering. Okay. So knocking on the door. So if you're living with your in-laws and you need to speak to them, then yes, you should also, you know, come to their door, say, Salamu alaikum. They'll probably hear you. Maybe just tap lightly on the door, because if you're living in the same home, I'm pretty sure that they can hear through that very thin door. SubhanAllah. So Filson asked, if someone is sleeping and they need to be woken up, what should you do? Okay. First of all, you don't take a glass of water and dump the whole thing on them. Okay. You don't just... Right? So you go to them, you talk to them nicely. Now, of course, if it's your children and they're sleeping, and again, it depends on the age, right? You can knock on their door. And, you know, you have to, this is where there needs to be an understanding. Okay. There needs to be an understanding. For example, if it's teenage or adult daughters, then it might be better for the mother to wake them up based on how the children are going to sleep, how they're dressing when they go to sleep. Everyone's family is different, different dynamics. And if it's, you know, teenage or adult boys that they have, then it might be better for the father to wake them up, right? They can maybe go into the room and wake them up. If someone doesn't wake up, you can tap them, you know, you can remind them, you can maybe open the light a little bit, not just turn on the spotlight right on their face, right, and wake them up. No, you don't want to do that. You want to just very nicely wake them up. And from the sunnah, you know, you can take some water. I don't ever dip my fingers in a glass because then the water is dirty. So I'm just going to do a mock version. You know, you would moisten your hand, go to the sink and just wet your hand, and then go like this, right? Sprinkle that water on the face of, you know, the children or whoever it is that you need to wake up. Okay, can you go over there? Can you not go to bed?
No, I was just waking. I was just kind
of like, okay. So that's basically how you would wake someone up. What else is here? Prayer question. When coming back from ruku', hands are raised when coming up from ruku' or when going for sajda. Okay, the hands are raised when coming up from ruku', saying sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Okay, that's when they're raised. Okay, not sami'a Allahu liman hamida rabbana lakal hamd Allahu akbar. No. So the hands coming up from ruku' are raised when saying sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Okay. Good. I think that's all the questions. Jazakum Allahu khairan for attending. I'll see all of you on Sunday night at 8 p.m. for our essential fiqh class, inshallah. Jazakum Allahu khairan wa barakallahu fikum wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.